I kind of had forgotten. You had told me the other night when we were out for dinner, but I kind of had forgotten that you spoke on the Father heart of the Lord, Father heart of God last week. What it means to be a son and a daughter. Oh, what manner of love he calls us, his children. That this one thing, you know, there are many people that in Washington, D.C., many people march for many rights. But the one right that we do have says in John chapter 1 that those who believe in Jesus, he has given the right to be called a child of God. What a wonderful right, you know? And I'm not gonna let Satan steal my rights, right? I will march for my rights every day. I have a right to be called his child. I have a right to pray this right now, actually. Well, that's a pretty bold prayer there, Hershey. You really think you should pray that much? You think God, your Father, really has that much to give? Well, I want to tell you something, devil. Yes, I have every right to pray this way because I'm his child. So I'm not going to let Satan steal my donuts, and I'm not going to let Satan steal my car. I'm not going to let get Satan steal my joy. Oh, no, you will not steal my joy. No, you will not steal the peace that I have in God. I have a right to be called his child. You're not going to steal my donuts, and you won't steal my joy. Right? And so it's we do have a right to be called his child. This morning, I as I was praying, I felt like I was supposed to speak on the comfort of God. I tend to be a repentance preacher. I like preaching repentance. It's my favorite thing to preach because it's where life is, right? Like, oh, yeah, I was thinking this way, but now I'm going to be in the truth and I'm going to change my mind to go this way. And that's life, right? And so, but this morning, I'm not going to really preach repentance as much as I'm going to preach about God. I'm just going to talk about who he is. And so if you want to just listen, that's great. If you want to turn to these scriptures, that's great too. I realize now in modern days when we now have like 25 different translations of the Bible, all in English, that when you try to get everybody to read scripture all together, sometimes it gets a little bit crazy and you're almost distracted at trying to translate it all in your brain rather than actually retaining and letting Holy Spirit actually speak to you through the life of the word, right? So I'm going to read some scriptures here to you. You can turn there if you like, whichever way. You could just sit there and soak in his presence and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. But speaking of the comfort of God, there's this, the Greek word, paraclete. I'm beginning to love this word, paraclete. It is translated in John 14 and John 16 as the helper. Some translate it as the advocate. Other translators will translate it as the comforter. Some will even translate it as the intercessor, the encourager. And paraclete, I know it sounds really close to parakeet, a bird that talks. Holy Spirit is a dove, and he does speak, but he's not. It's paraclete, not parakeet. But I just want to read some scriptures to you here this morning. John 14, 16. This is Jesus' great message right before the Last Supper. John 14, verse 16. I'm going to start with 15. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. He will give you another paraclete. He will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. There it is. God, as he adopts us, he sends paraclete to come be with us. I love paraclete. Can we all say that together? I love paraclete, his abiding presence that comes with us to be our helper and our comforter. Let's look at verse 26 of the same chapter, John 14. starting with verse 25. These things I have spoken to you. This is Jesus speaking again. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Paraclete, the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Isn't that really comforting? One of the most frightful things in the world is to think that you're going to be put in a situation and not know what to do. That I'm going to end up somewhere where I'm over my head and I don't like, okay, my car is going to break down on the freeway out in the middle of Arizona, but I don't know how to fix an engine, right? And so if I was a mechanic, I would not be afraid because I had that knowledge, right? And that's just something very tangible. But what about, you know, you get put in relational difficulties. Like, what do I do with this relationship where there's so much brokenness between me and my boss right now? Like, what do I do? Right? The Holy Spirit is there to teach you all things. So comforting that he is there to teach us always. I'm comforted by that. Are you comforted by that? So comforted by that. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Sometimes you forget what God's spoken to you a couple years ago. You know, the truth is, there's a lot of people that go to all sorts of conferences and stuff, and they're just yearning for another prophetic word. But reality is, if we would just believe what's actually already in our journals, what God has already spoken, we would never need another prophetic word, right? And so it's like, but how do I remember the things that God's already spoken to me in the past? Holy Spirit is faithful to remind you. He will remind you what Jesus has spoken, right? So good, both in this book, but also the rhema words that he speaks to us. So, so good. So this is the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And again, in John 15, 26. So 14, 26, 15, 26. But when the Helper, Paraclete, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So you see here, Paraclete is always speaking about Jesus, always throwing the attention towards Jesus. Verse 27, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So Paraclete, Holy Spirit, along with us, together we bear witness to Jesus. It says in the book of Revelation, together the Spirit and the Bride say, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. We say, yes, come, Lord Jesus, come. The Spirit and the Bride together. In chapter 16, verse 7, again it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So Paraclete comes. He's with us always. You know, kind of as a manner of introduction, our community, we're kind of moving into the building later on this week. And I was just kind of laughing here as David was kind of talking about this earlier, because at one point he referred to us as YWAM, Youth with a Mission. Another time he referred to us as David's Tent. And I don't know if he referred to it, but we have one other identity, Washington House of Prayer as well. And we kind of, so who in the world are we, right? And so just to kind of clarify a little bit, we moved into Washington, D.C. as Youth with a Mission to pioneer and to plant here. And then out of that, God began to prophesy over us about birthing Washington House of Prayer, this 24/7 house of prayer in Washington, D.C., based in D.C., for this city and for the nation from this city as the nation's capital. And then last fall, or actually two falls ago, God began to speak to us about this event that we did on the White House ellipse last fall called David's Tent, which we put up a tent on the White House Ellipse, and we had worship teams from all over America. And for 40 days, day and night, we worshiped without end. It ended up being a 1,000-hour love song. It was about 42 days till it was all said and done. And so now it's the same people, but we end up with these three different identities as YWAM, Washington House of Prayer, David's Tent. So just to clarify, it's all the same people. But the one value, but those are all just identities, right? That they will, they're going to fall away. We're just children. At the end of the day, we're all just children of God, right? I grew up in Mennonite church. Well, I grew up in a family of God. You know, somebody else grew up in a Methodist church. Somebody else grew up, whatever. We're all, at the end of the day, we're all just children of the Father. And we're one Father, one baptism, one Spirit, one Lord, right? And so this is the truth. But so who, as a matter of introduction, like who are we as a community? Like what, like different families, different people will have a different set of core values that are all valuable, but just because of the identity and what God is speaking, different people will put different values a bit transcendent above the other, right? So as a community, this is what we say, is that we desire to be a presence-centered community, that everything we do revolves around Paraclete. It revolves around creating a home and a place for Paraclete, the Comforter, this great dove of heaven, Holy Spirit, the presence of God, to dwell with us. So why do we clean our rooms? Well, yeah, because it's good stewardship, but because I know that a clean prayer room is more anointed than a messy prayer room. There's been times where I've been vacuuming the carpet in the prayer room, in the Holy Spirit, praying as I go, right? And about halfway through, I'm feeling joy come down into me, and I'm feeling the peace of God, and I'm, whoa, like, this is amazing. Like, I have a church in here, so all I'm doing is vacuum cleaning, right? And so, like, we want to create an atmosphere where God desires to dwell. And so, and when that's the core value of everything you do to create, Bill Johnson, I once heard him, I'm going to borrow a tissue here for a minute. I once heard him do this, which kind of helps explain it really, really well. But if this is a dove, doves are actually quite frightful animals, you know. They'll go off, right? And so if this is a dove, and let's say this dove is the most rare dove, and it's like it lays golden eggs every day. It's the only one of its kind. So this dove is worth like billions of dollars, right? It's the most treasured thing that you're ever going to have your whole existence. And so, but the thing of it is you can't really tether the dove down. You can't chain it. You can only, like, host it. You can only have it, like, sit on your shoulder. And so when you have dove with you, how's that change the way you begin to walk through a room? You're walking really carefully because you don't want the dove to fly away, right? So how does that change the kind of music that you play in your car? How does that change how you like, the environment? You do everything you can because of the thing that you hold most precious and most dear, because you don't want that dove to fly away. And so as a community, whether it's YWAM DC or whether it's Washington House of Prayer, David's Tent, whatever we are, as his children, the one thing that we desire most is that we would have the comfort of the Spirit of God with us, right? So we value his presence more than anything. We are a presence-centered community. We desire above all things to create a resting place for Paraclete on the earth, and then together with him, with Paraclete, to sing, to cry, and to beckon, come, Lord Jesus, come. You know, I looked up the word comfort in the dictionary. It says to soothe in grief or to console. Being comfortable means to enjoying contentment or security, to enjoy physical comfort. I began to draw out a list earlier this week of comfort tendencies for me. well, some of them are for me, some are for others, I guess. Things that people do to run for comfort. Some of the obvious ones are drugs. Like, oh, I just need comfort in some sort of way. Okay, I'm going to smoke this, I'm going to drink this, whatever, drugs, booze. There's actually a liquor called Southern Comfort. So some people run to substances for comfort. Relationships. Tons of people run to relationships. You have extreme extroverts that just, like, it's relationship. Relationship in whatever level, just talk. It's relationship is the comfort. Some of these aren't necessarily bad. I'm just saying this is often what we do for comfort. You have the easy chair when your body is absolutely broken, you're sore, you're stiff, you can't get up in the morning, that type of thing. Or at the end of a hard day of work, really, all you really want to do is just sit down and put your feet up. Oh, comfort, you know, for your body. Maybe it's a cup of coffee or tea. Love just sitting on the front porch, you know, watching the traffic go by. It's a wonderful thing. Comfort. For some, it's food. Ice cream! Ah! A whole gallon of it at once! That sounds awesome! You know? Whatever, pasta, bread, showers. I love a good hot shower. I call the shower the revelation station. Somehow or another, when I step in that shower, I just get downloads from heaven. Anybody else have a revelation station in their house? Everybody wonders why I take such long showers, because that's just where I meet God, right? And maybe it's just really comforting to have my older brother, who's a missionary in Central Asia, he once did a hot shower fast for a long time. He said it was something else. He didn't realize how much he'd run to the shower for comfort. Evidently, he got a lot of downloads through that whole deal. Sleep. Oh, man. Things are crazy in life. I just want to sleep. Sleep it off, right? Very, very good. It's a very, very attractive way to run for comfort. Feeling nervous about life. I'm just going to sleep. Just turn it off for a while. Physical activity. Some people just go run. I remember there was one day I was having an anxiety attack, and I ended up running for about 7 miles. Yeah, it's true. As a young man, and I was confused. I needed some answers. I tell you what, anybody ever be at a place where you need some answers? Man, I was needing some answers. Actually, it wasn't 7 miles. It was 7 miles one way. It was the YWAM base that I was being trained at in Texas. It's like, it was 6.5 miles to the closest town. And it's this ranch out in the middle of nowhere. I ran 6.5 miles into town and back again. Cold turkey. I wasn't a runner and I wasn't training. I just went out for a jog. But the adrenaline rush, you know, come on, woo! Like, it's comforting, right? Get up in the morning, lift some weights, that type of thing. So some people, it's physical activity. But the truth of the matter is for all of us, we long for paraclete more than any of those things. And we ache for his presence. We ache for the comfort of God. We are his children, and we just want to be in our Father's arms. Amen. Some other scriptures here I want to read to you. You don't need to turn there, but Isaiah 40, verse 1. God comforts us often with his words. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare has ended. Can we all say that together? Here, warfare has ended. Let's say, my warfare has ended. My warfare has ended. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended. Man, that is a comforting thing. If your nation's been at war for decades and suddenly you get word that the war is over, the whole nation, and especially her children, go, the war's over. The war's over. That's awesome, huh? So God comforts Jerusalem with his words. Isaiah 51:3. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. You know, it is an awesome thing when a certain place or set of relationships or whatever that was a desert at one point in your life, when God touches it and suddenly it becomes the most life-giving place or the life-giving set of relationships you could ever imagine. That's what God does when he comes with his comfort. He comes with Paraclete, he comes into that desert, and suddenly that place that was so dry, that set of relationships that was so pulling you down and ripping your heart to pieces, God comes in, touches it all, and suddenly it blossoms like a fertile field. That's the comfort of God, Father, coming into our lives. Isaiah 66:13, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem. I watch my kids when they'll fall off their bike or something. They'll run to dad. But if mom's in the room, they'll like tag base and go to second. You know, like they go to mom, right? And so it's just the way it is. If mom's available, they'll go to mom. Why? For comfort. Psalms 119:76 says, let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort. Your loving kindness will never fail me. Your merciful kindness will be for my comfort. Verses 81 and 82 of Psalms 119. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? God, when are you going to comfort me? It's easy. Is this a sermon or just a personal confession? I'm not sure, but I'm just going to tell you. It's easy for me to come home, you're nervous about something, and immediately, okay, let's get a good snack, all right? Let's just browse the internet, okay? And enough! Just sit down and put on some worship music and receive Paraclete, right? But why do I go to all these other things, like against all this stuff, right, to distract me? But you know what? It's not comforting at all in the end, because at the end, you just wake up the night, and then, you know, after you eat a bunch of food, and then you browse the internet for a while, and then you go out, well, I don't smoke, but whatever, you go, and then you just go to sleep. And I'm going to wake up in the morning, tomorrow, everything's going to be great, right? But you wake up in the morning, the next morning, and you still feel nervous. Oh, man, that's a bummer. And so, like, but only Paraclete can actually minister to that place in our hearts when our hearts cry for comfort. And, yeah, when a loved one dies, yeah, you know, a loved one dies, there's grief. And, like, those different times where you need that type of comfort. But beyond those circumstantial things, there is a daily comfort that if you're even half as human as I am, I know there is a daily comfort that every last one of us needs to be in our Father's arms. To be with Holy Spirit on a daily basis. It isn't just when something tragic happens. It's actually a daily thing that it's like, oh, my soul craves God. My soul faints for his presence. And so we're a presence-centered community because, honestly, we're addicted. We can't live without him. And we were designed and made this way by God at the very beginning. We were designed to walk in relationship with him. So when we're not walking in relationship with him, of course we're going to be nervous. Like, we are, like, intrinsic God addicts from the very moment of our conception. We can't live without him, right? And so Paraclete, this comforter that comes and is with us, it's like, ah. Oh. You know, wow, you're with me, God. It was like this morning as we were worshiping, God's here, right? And in worship, I'm just like, oh, man, I could be in this place for the next 12 hours and not get bored, not get nervous, because God's here and my soul is just drinking from his presence, and there's nothing I'd rather do but that, right? Paraclete. I love Paraclete when he's here. When Paraclete comes, he starts healing people oftentimes. He brings his peace. He brings his joy. All sorts of great things happen when Paraclete's here. So we want to create a landing pad for that dove to come down and then just stay there. I want to tell you I want to read to you from John G. Lake, great healing evangelist. He was already healing people. He was already doing incredible ministry. But somehow he knew that there was still a baptism of the Holy Spirit yet for him that he had not yet had. Which kind of blows my grid. Because I used to think, okay, if you're healing people and you got great sermons and people are being touched by the anointing that's when you're preaching and stuff like that, then of course you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Especially if you're speaking in tongues, you're good. But this guy had all of those evidences, but yet still in his heart, he knew there was another baptism for him. So I think maybe there's multiple baptisms along the way. I don't know how it all works, but I can't say that I have the market cornered on Paraclete. I'm still getting to know him. But I want to read to you something that really, this is his testimony. Oh, Lake's heart cried out for the baptism of the Spirit. He was so determined to receive. For the first 9 months of 1907, Lake fasted, prayed, and cried out to God. He just had to have all of God that he could get. Finally, in the 10th month, he got what he was after, and a big dose of it, too. On one October day, Lake accompanied his preaching partner and friend, Tom Hesmohatch, to the home of an invalid woman. They were going to pray for her healing. As Tom instructed the woman about healing before they prayed, Lake sat comfortably in a deep leather, everybody say comfortably. Lake sat comfortably in a deep leather chair across the room. His mind soon drifted, and again he was thinking about the baptism of the Spirit. Suddenly, a great calm invaded the restlessness of Lake's soul. And for the first time in his life that he could remember, his mind became still. Something like a warm tropical rain shower began bathing his soul. Oh, it was so peaceful. Then, out of the calm of that moment, Lake heard the Lord say, I have heard your prayers, and I've seen your tears. You are now baptized in the Holy Spirit. Finally, it was his. Something more precious, more beautiful, more personal. The baptism of his Spirit into God's Spirit. Now his own heart was full. It was complete. And it was satisfied. I remember reading this years ago and thinking, yeah, God, I want that comfort. I want that place where my mind is completely still. Where my soul is 100% at rest in God. And that place is only found through Jesus, the way to the Father, who has sent his Spirit, Paraclete, to be with us as our friend, our helper, our advocate. To know that God is with us. You're going into DCRA, to the zoning department, and you're there like, as it turns out, Paraclete's with you. It's going to be okay. Paraclete's with me. It's going to be all right, you know. I have a friend that's in the middle of this crazy business deal right now, and it's like anyone would think you're in the, because any business, at some point you got to take risk, right? So missionaries think that they take risk. Try being a businessman. And then you find yourself underneath the desk how many times because of the risk of business, right? So he's, without Paraclete, what do you do? In those times of taking risk, right? Like, what do? But you have to have Paraclete with you, the Father, right? I'm going to read a couple more scriptures to you out of this wonderful book. 2 Corinthians. Let's face it, preachers, we don't really come up with anything new. We just plagiarize the Bible, Sunday in, Sunday out. It's wonderful. The Bible is amazing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the mercy of God, and the God of all comfort. Can I just say something about the mercy of God? Your sins are not a part of your life any more than what Jesus is a part of the grave. Jesus is not in the grave, and your sins are no longer a part of you. Like, he has come to separate you completely forever. Jesus isn't going back to the grave. You're not going back to your sin. He has set you free, and you're going from glory to glory to glory from this point on, right? That Jesus is done with the grave, you know? And we are done with sin. We are just being cleansed by his blood every single day, and we are going forward, and our sins are separated from us as far as the east is from the west, and that is why Jesus came. Isn't that comforting? Everybody go like, ah, oh, that's comforting. It's comforting. So good. Okay, Father of mercies and God of all comfort, verse 4, chapter 1, 2 Corinthians, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. So he comforts us in our tribulation, so we may comfort those who are in trouble. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Our comfort comes from him. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings that we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. If you are partakers of the sufferings of Christ, you also will be partakers of the great consolation of God, the comfort of heaven, paraclete coming in your midst. I'm telling you, I was, Melissa is going to be a student in the DTS, and she's moving, she's been living here in the building with her family for a little while, and she was kind of joking and laughing somewhat with us the other night as she's like, you know, I'm packing up all my stuff and only to like move back in here with less stuff that I have now and end up being on like a bed, just like one bunk bed, right? And like, so as her family is like, their borders are being expanded, and they're going into a new place, and they're excited about that. She seems to, it would look like you're, and Jonathan's in the same shoes, kind of. It would look like you're actually taking a step backward than a step forward, right? But in that conversation, I was thinking, you know what? I know that whatever Melissa gives up in this world, God is going to give himself to her in that much of a measure. So take my whole life, but give me you, God. I'll call it more than fair and even, right? As long as I know that you're with me, as long as I know that I have the comfort of the Lord with me every single day in the presence of God. Moses said, if you don't go with me, if you don't get with us, we are not going up from this place. I stay right here if you're not with me, God. I will not go another step forward if your presence is not with me. This is as far as I go. Because he would, you know, Kimberly and I, my wife Kimberly and I, we've been through the whole transition because we all live in Southeast right now, in east of the river in Anacostia, that Congress Heights neighborhoods, which is a bit of a drive from here. And so now our ministry existence is going to be primarily moving over here. And so Kimberly and I are like, okay, what do we do about this commute? Like, and the house that we live in right now in Southeast, we actually really like. It's a very nice house. It's very comfortable. That type of thing, and but then there's other places, are, you know, this side of the river that could be very nice, very comfortable, and so we found ourselves like weighing all the pros and cons of what would be best, right? And of course, as we were weighing the pros and cons of what will be best, we're trying to put into order all our different values, and really, at the end of the day, we're thinking, the whole deal was, what would be the most comfortable existence for us and our children, right? As we're weighing the pros and cons. And suddenly, the one morning, I had this epiphany moment when I realized, like, part of the value that we need to put in there is the emotional turmoil of knowing that we've been disobedient. If we choose something other than what God is saying us for us to do. And so, like, there has been martyrs that have gone to the stake because they knew they would rather die than have the emotional suffering inside their soul that they have denied Jesus. Right? And so I'm like, okay, I have to put, like, as we look for the most comfortable existence, huge, like, suddenly, boom, obedience to God creates comfort in the inner man because I know I have a clean conscience with the Lord, and that alone is freedom and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. So that is what creates comfort, and I make all decisions in my life around that one thing because anything else is emotional turmoil. It's uncomfortable. See what I'm saying? Paraclete. We value his presence more than anything else. And how I know that I need him is every night that I come home and craving for food. Please comfort me with your ice cream. One last scripture that I want to read to you. Quite possibly my favorite Bible verses ever. Well, I don't know. I really like the one in Psalm 73 that says, "The Lord is at my right hand. He holds my hand. He is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Even though my heart and my flesh may fail, he is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." I like that one, but this is another one of my favorites, Psalms 23. And you know what? Why don't you stand up? And I'm gonna read this to your spirit. I'm not just going to read this to your intellect. Actually, the Bible in the Bible it says to speak to one another in spiritual hymns and songs. And so, like, oftentimes in YWAM, we'll have Monday night ministry nights. We'll probably end up having Monday night ministry nights here, probably in the house of prayer over there. And typically for house of prayer, it's always like we're singing to be ministering to the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We're singing to be a blessing to his heart. But on Monday night ministry night, it's actually we want the people in the room to be ministered to. And one of the ways that is actually speak to one another in spiritual hymns and songs, right? And so, okay, for instance, I'm going to read Psalms 23 over you for a second. But first, this is an example. Here's a chorus. I'm going to sing this over you if I can. This is the chorus. Wake up, child, it's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child, it's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child, it's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. He's calling, wake up, child, it's your turn to shine. You were born for such a time as this. Like, our spirit may awaken. It's your turn to shine. Now is the time, right? Okay, so that's an example. But this is actually a Psalm of David. So I'm just gonna pray this out over here. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. And God, I pray even this coming week coming up that the comfort of the Lord would be with us in every moment. God, we thank you that you gave us taste buds to enjoy the pleasurable things of this world like ice cream, coffee. God, we thank you that our nose is not just for discerning if milk is sour or not, but it's also for smelling roses and it's also for smelling fruit. God, we thank you that our hands are not just for working, but they're also for clapping. We thank you that our hands are not just for making things, but they're also for painting and drawing and signing to you, Jesus. God, we thank you that our mouths aren't just for talking, but they're also for tasting. We thank you that our ears are not just for communicating, but they're also for music. God, we thank you that our eyes are not just for seeing so that we don't run into things, but they're also for beholding your beauty. They're also for looking at sunsets, and they're also for looking at the beautiful colors of the rainbow and to stand in awe of your wonderful things. And so, God, we thank you for all the pleasurable, wonderful things of this world, but in all the things that you've given us as expressions of your nature and character of goodness and love. But at the same time, God, we recognize that the only comfort for our soul will never be in ice cream. That the comfort for our souls will never be in great, incredible movies to feast our eyes on entertainment. God, we know the comfort for our souls will never be for even workaholism and all these other things, activity and distraction. But God, we know that the comfort for our souls will only be in you. And so God, we remind our own spirit of that this morning, and we just say, God, just come and be with us. God, I pray this week, God, as we go about this next week, that we would sense the Lord's nearness to us in every single area, that we would never be in fear or nervousness or anxiety, but just, yeah, God, I just say, peace be still to every mind in this room. I say, peace be still. I speak to the families of the people in this room, and I say, peace be still to your family. I speak to the lives, the circumstantial lives of everyone in this room, and I say, peace be still in Jesus' name. That all storms right now be silent in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to read this Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You can say it with me if you like. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's say it together one more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.